Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
Stand to your feet as we rejoice this morning, singing "Hark the Herald Angels," rejoicing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Go ahead and have a seat. So great to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to Peckway Church. My name is Scott Munson. I'm the worship pastor here, and it's always an honor and privilege to sing praises to our Lord and Savior together. I'm going to invite those here in person to take the great connection card out of your bulletin. Those online, you're going to find a connect link there in the chat window. You can click on that, and that's our digital connection card. But we simply ask everyone to fill this card out each week, whether this is your first time with us or you've been here many, many times. And you can see there's information on the front there. Just put as much as you're comfortable with. If you regularly attend, you just can just give us your first and last name. And then everyone, at the end of today's service, if you would, if you drop that gray connection card in the gray box at the back of the room, we would appreciate that very much. But this is just simply one of those communication pieces that we can use to see, you know, what kind of needs that you guys have. What can we be praying about with you? Maybe you want to know more about Peckway Church. So all of that information is there on the card. So take a moment to look at that anytime during our time here this morning together. And of course, online, you can do that as well through that digital connection card. Today we are continuing our sermon series. We've been talking about what child is this, and we've been looking at Isaiah, the verse there, the prophecy about Jesus being our wonderful counselor, I can't remember the second one, but that's okay. But our third one today, we're going to talk about Jesus being our eternal father. And what do you think about when you think about your father? Many times that kind of colors the way we view God, but I think Pastor Jerry mentioned that last week, and we want to see God as more than what our experiences may be with our earthly fathers, and the reason that Jesus came, that he is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, that was our second one, and then our eternal father this week. How can we experience God in this new and fresh way? And we're going to talk about Jesus being the light of the world, that Jesus came for the purpose of bringing redemption and salvation for our souls and giving us those things that we've been talking about. So I'm going to ask you to turn your attention to the screens as we reflect on Jesus being that light today, and then we'll continue our time together in worship.
One dark Bethlehem night, Joseph and Mary braved the wilderness, determined to reach the light in the distance before them, the town where their child would be born. Later that same evening, shepherds on a distant hillside were compelled toward another light, the child himself, the Savior who was Christ the Lord. Because that child had been born for a reason, to shine brightly into the darkness of this world and to seek and save what has been lost in that darkness. Jesus came so those who were broken and utterly alone would have a beacon of hope to follow. For the measure of his life on earth, his brightness spread like a wildfire, healing bodies and hearts and bringing what was dead to life again, until the moment that changed everything. Today, that light cannot be contained. It burns past the boundaries of place and time, seeking anyone who feels lost in the darkness of loneliness and pain, of fear and shame. The light is revealing that Jesus sees you, he has found you, and Jesus Christ will save you. It is time to think back on that Bethlehem night and open your heart to the Savior born. For he is the light that leads you out of your pain, the one who came to seek and save you. No matter how dark your circumstance, no matter how lost you think you are, you never have to be lost again, because the light of the world has come.
Stand as we sing, as we behold that light, Jesus, as we sing about him, as we come this morning and adore him together.
Divinity incarnate, Creator.
have this time of Advent, expecting Jesus, expecting this time of the year, and then his promised return. Would we continue singing with hope this morning as we sing this carol together, that, oh come, Emmanuel.
come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift.
About the light today. Sometimes it may not feel like light. Maybe you're grieving the loss of someone today. And we don't want to just only think about the happiness of Christmas, although it is a joyful time of the year. But we are mindful of those things, the loss, the grief, or the pain that sometimes we experience at this time of the year. And when I tell you that we really do pray for you guys, and that we ask you to share those requests with us, please don't think of it as trite or just something that we say. But you are our church family. You are our brothers and sisters in Christ. You are those who are seeking. And if we, as we've already heard today, that Jesus came to seek those who are in darkness, those who are lost. The Bible tells us that he leaves the 99 and he runs after that one. That's why we pray. So if you would just take a moment today and write on that card or click that place online and leave us those requests. We want to be here. We want to pray with you guys. So just any moment today when you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, would you just take a moment and do that? And we're going to pray together as Pastor Jerry comes in just a moment and he shares with us God's word about how Jesus is that light of the world and that he is our eternal Father. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice and that you came into this world to bring light into those dark places. God, as we think about those things today, would you bring your healing? Would you bring your light to those dark places? We thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus is the word, that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. We thank you today that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you are with us in this very quiet moment. So Holy Spirit, as you are moving in these places today, amongst these pews, in the homes, vehicles, wherever we might be viewing today, God, would you make your presence so very real? And we thank you for what you're going to do today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My fault, Billy. I apologize. It's what happens when you learn to preach in Kentucky. You don't need a sound system. But anyhow, I just want to say thank you to those who have helped me, at least. And I don't think I'm alone, but I kind of came rushing here today, and it was hard for me to believe, honestly, as I sat in my office, that we're just 2 weeks away from Christmas. And it's so easy, just even as hard as we try for it not to happen, that we just race toward Christmas. And I just want to say to the tech team, to the worship team, thank you for allowing us and helping us to just be still, to pause and actually contemplate and think about and celebrate the real reason behind the season, to really allow us to think about the incredible gift Jesus was to us. And again, they've done that in multiple ways. I look here and certainly the backgrounds and the time that it took to put that together. But I just say as an aside that I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven and I finally join the heavenly choir, I better be able to sing like Pastor Scott. That's all I've got to tell you. I just better be able to sing like that because I certainly can't now. But the reality is, whether you have helped us by, I know some of you last week gave time, a lot of time, to put together a Christmas party for the children and decorations, whatever you've done to help us as a church family celebrate, and not just celebrate, but remember, and to share the message of Christmas, I just want to say thank you. But with that said, if you've been here the last 3 weeks, then I think you've probably got a pretty good grasp on the fact that 700 years before Jesus was born, God, in his mercy and his grace, gave us four names for the coming Messiah. And the reason we've been going through this and spending the last 3 weeks doing it, we're going to spend next week as well, so 4 weeks doing it, is because I'm absolutely convinced when you and I truly understand the meaning behind those names, when we truly understand what God was communicating, not what we bring to it with our meaning today, but what God actually intended to communicate to us, when we do that, we end up with a much better understanding of not only who Jesus is, but what Jesus actually came to do. And so in his grace and his mercy, God, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, went to a prophet by the name of Isaiah. And if you say, what's a prophet? Just whenever you hear prophet, hear spokesman. Somebody God speaks through, communicates through to his people, kind of an intermediary. Just hear spokesperson. And 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God went to Isaiah and inspired him to write this. Let me read it for you. It's there at the top of your outline. Here's what Isaiah writes. He said, for us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we've been walking our way through those names, and today we come to the third name, and I want to spend our time looking at this third name, and let me give you an alternate name. You could look at that in the original Hebrew, and you could translate that Everlasting Father or Eternal Father. Now, I'm going to use it throughout this message. I'm going to refer to Eternal Father. I just find it a little bit more accessible for most people. But I want to spend time looking at that, and here's why. Because at the very heart of Christmas, at the very heart of Christmas, what God was about was communicating himself and making himself known to us and to humanity through the person and his son, Jesus. And so when God inspired Isaiah to write that the Messiah would be known by the name of Eternal Father, what he really was doing was revealing to you, revealing to me, revealing to humanity that Jesus would make him known as the Eternal God. And that's important because even though Jesus was a man, he also was God. So that's why Isaiah said what he did. If you weren't here for the first installment of this series, that's why Isaiah wrote, For to us a child is born, because he is referring to the humanity of Jesus. But then he went on. He didn't stop there. He said, for to us a son is given. And there he's pointing and referring to the deity of Jesus. You say, okay, Jerry, what practically does that say to us? What does that practically mean to us today? And here's what it means in part. Because Jesus was not only fully man but fully God, that means before he was born in Bethlehem, he was. He existed. In other words, there's never been a time when Jesus did not exist. Jesus has been, from the very beginning, existing alongside God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, which is why the Hebrew writer said this. He took pen in hand, and again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said to us, in essence, that since Jesus came and because Jesus came, we now have a fuller, more complete picture of God than we ever did before. In fact, let me read to you exactly what he said. It's brief. It's in the very beginning of his book. It's how he sets up his letter. And here's what he said. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In other words, let me kind of take that apart. Before Jesus' birth, what we knew about God was largely from secondhand information. What the Hebrew writer is saying is largely what we knew about God before the birth of Jesus was communicated to us by God through a spokesperson, through a prophet. It's secondhand information. But he said, with the birth of Jesus, suddenly we had firsthand information. Suddenly we had a firsthand look at who God was, his heart, his character, his nature. And the reality is, for that very reason, when Philip said to Jesus, and it's there on the outline, Philip was talking to Jesus and he said this, he said, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. But I want you to notice the next passage there on your outline, because Jesus responded in an interesting way. He said this to Philip, he said, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And so what I want to do today, in light of what Jesus said to Philip, what John makes known to us, what the Hebrew writer makes known to us, in light of what God revealed through Isaiah, what I want to do today is I want to spend our time looking at three key ways, three vital ways, three important ways that Jesus reveals God as our eternal Father. And let's just get started. Here's the first way. There on your outline, the very first blank there is simply this. The first way Jesus reveals God as our eternal Father is he reveals him as the giver of eternal life. And Scott's been singing about that and talking about that all this morning. And let me just give you a passage of scripture from which we get that. Just one of many, but let me, probably one of the most well-known and certainly one of my favorite. John writes this at the very beginning of his biography of the life of Jesus. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made, and in him was life." And let me just stop there and say a couple things real quick. First, and many of you know this, but I don't want to make an assumption, that when you see Word capitalized in that passage, three times it's capitalized, the reason for that is because it's referring to Jesus. And so John very accurately could have just as simply said, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's what John is claiming. That's what John is stating. And in light of that, I want you to realize, and I want to share with you really what I think are two things that John makes abundantly clear because of that statement. Here's the first one. Jesus existed before anything else existed. Jesus was present before the beginning of creation. We need to understand that. It's what speaks of the deity of Jesus, that he is fully man, but also fully God. Here's the second thing that John makes clear in that passage, and that is Jesus came to give us life. More specifically, he came to give us eternal life, which if you've never done it, it's an interesting study, but that explains why if you go through the Gospels and actually count it, 45 times in the Gospel, the gift, the reference to eternal life is connected to Jesus and the reason for his birth, 45 times in four Gospels. But that shouldn't surprise us, because way back, 800 years before Jesus' birth, 100 years before Isaiah's prophecy, Solomon said this. He said, "He has also set eternity in the hearts of man." That he is referring to is God the Father. Now let me paraphrase it another way, because based on that verse and others, a wonderful theological genius by the name of St. Augustine, living hundreds of years, centuries before, basically said this. He paraphrased it like this. He said, "We are created," and I'm paraphrasing Augustine, "we are created with a God-shaped hole in our hearts. We are created with a hole in our life, and until we fill that hole with God himself, we will be plagued with a sense of incompleteness. We will be plagued with a sense that there must be more in life, because nothing," Augustine would say, and John's making the same claim, throughout the gospel we see the same, "because no one and nothing but God himself can completely and fully fill it, no matter how much we try. We can try to put other things in there," which is why so many people today find themselves saying, you hear it, I hear it, and perhaps you're saying to yourself, we find people searching for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. And yet those same people, if they're honest with you and honest with themselves, say, "I haven't found it." And quite candidly, they're not going to find it apart from Jesus. Because the only thing that could fill a God-shaped blank in your life and mind is God himself. It's the only person who can fill it. But we hear it all the time, don't we? I mean, we hear when you listen, if you really pay attention and listen, and I know we all do, when we listen to people talk about their lives, here's the kind of things we hear them say. Things sort of like, "There must be more to life than this. There's something missing from my life. I just feel incomplete." Have you ever said that? Have you ever heard that? I remember when that was brought home to me in a painful way, an amazing way, when I was in one of the most affluent cities in the world, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I just went door to door, knocking on doors in this highly successful, very wealthy community and neighborhood, and time after time, I heard people say, to an essence, say, "I have the house, I have the money, I have a beautiful home or family and husband or wife, but I still feel like something's missing. I still feel like something's lacking." And the reason we hear that, folks, it doesn't matter how successful, how wealthy, how relationally successful a person is. Folks, the only thing that will fill the God-shaped hole in your life and mine is God himself. Because God, when he created us and created every single one of us, he pressed or stamped on our soul a God-shaped blank, a God-shaped hole. And that's part of the reason, the primary reason that Jesus came, to fill that hole in your life and mine, to fill that void, to fill that emptiness. And I promise you, and some of you can testify and attest to the same thing, when we let him fill that hole, it changes our life. It radically changes our life. So let me bring it back to Isaiah in this name by having Isaiah write that Jesus, one of the names that Jesus would be known by was Eternal Father. What God was doing for you and for me was revealing to us that through Jesus, we can have eternal life. We could have that hole in our life, that emptiness, that sense of completeness finally filled in totally and completely. And just as an added bonus, we could have heaven for all eternity. So that's the first reason that God, that Jesus reveals to us God is Eternal Father. Let me give you the second way he reveals God is Eternal Father, and that is he reveals him as the giver of eternal light. The giver of eternal light. Again, let's go back to John's gospel. Here's what he says. Beginning right after what we just read, and at the end of verse 4, he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. I want you to underline that phrase, the light of men. And then later on in his gospel, John records Jesus speaking, and this is what Jesus himself says. I am the light of the world. Would you underline that? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's an amazing thing, what John says, what he claims, what he tells us. So then in verse 30, John says, verse 20, chapter 3, he says, anyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And so the reality is, as we look to this, folks, there are primary teachings here that Jesus is giving us, that John is giving us. And when he talks about being the light of men, and Jesus talks about being light of the world, what he is absolutely telling us is that he reveals to us not only who God is, but he reveals to us who we are. And what we need to understand in that moment is who we are, who Jesus reveals us to be as the giver of eternal light, is there is a positive and there's a negative side to what he reveals. Let's talk first about the negative side. Because the negative side is the fact that we are people in darkness. Now, I got ahead of myself. I want to read it again. But John tells us, after he's saying Jesus is the light of man, he wrote this, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness hasn't understood it. And then in verse 20 of chapter 3, he says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So here's what we need to understand. The negative side of what Jesus reveals about you and me is this, that we can and we do choose attitudes and actions that separate us from God. But as the light of the world, what Jesus does to help us see that, he shines a light on that very darkness in your life and mine. Now, that's a serious subject, and one of the things I've learned is that when you talk about something really serious, then you need to lighten the mood. So let me just see if I can lighten the mood a little bit. But I hope in the same way will reveal some truth to you. I remember decades ago seeing a cartoon, and my daughter's now into it, and I checked the date, and really these cartoons started in the 1940s, but long ago, in a Peanuts cartoon, Charles Schulz had Lucy draw a heart. And then what Lucy did in this cartoon is she colored half of the heart black and the other half of the heart white. And then if you know anything about Charlie Brown, you know anything about Lucy, you know Lucy immediately turned to Charlie Brown and said, Chuck, that's us. Our hearts have a dark side and a light side. And they're constantly battling. And Charlie Brown, like only Charlie Brown can do, immediately hearing that, he put his hand on his heart and feeling his heartbeat, his hair stood on end, and he said, Lucy, you're right. I can feel him fighting right now. Now, the reason Charles Schulz did that, who was in his lifetime a committed Christian, was he was trying to reveal a very important truth. And that truth is that you and I, as people separated from God, before we have a relationship with God, we are people in darkness. And he shared that, and John writes that because the promise God gave of a Messiah, the promise that Jesus would come, would be that Jesus would come and enable us to win that battle by empowering you and I to live a life like he lived, a life of integrity, a life of compassion, a life of love. And I just want to push in the clutch there for a second and say, in light of that, in the light of what Jesus came to do to empower us to win that battle, then I need to say to you folks, to think that God can forgive our past sins but cannot empower us to live above them today is wrong. And let me just give you some biblical basis for that, because I know for some of us that it isn't computing or it's hard to understand. Let me just give you some biblical basis for what I just said. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and take a look at what he says. That's the next verse on that line. You used to let the parts of your body be slaves to your evil thoughts, but now you must make every part of your body serve God so that you will belong completely to him. And then Paul, to another group of Christians, this time in the city of Corinth, he said this, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. And then finally, the elder John, and these could go on and on and on, but I think these three are sufficient. John, the elder John writes this, my dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. Now, if we had no option but to sin, what John just wrote would be misleading. It would be false. But he says, I'm writing this so you will not sin, which implies we don't have to sin. So folks, what I'm trying to say and what we need to understand, this incredible gift of Jesus as eternal light means, folks, there can be, and yes, there should be, a difference in how we live when we follow Jesus. There ought to be a clear difference, because God's power is not limited to simply forgiving our past sins. It can also empower us to resist sin in the present. We can live above sin. And a long time ago, and I very seldom put quotes in your outline, but this is so good, I wanted you to have it. It's so impacted my life the last 30, 40 years since I first read it. To help her son, who was in university at the time, to understand that reality, to live into that reality, to practice that reality, a mother by the name of Susanna Wesley wrote this to her son, who, while in university, was seeing lifestyles and actions among Christians that were just simply confusing him. It didn't make sense. He couldn't understand it. And so he turned to his mother for counsel. And again, this is the late 1700s. And so she writes her son, and I want to read to you what she says when it comes to this whole issue of Jesus' eternal light, about you and I being able to live above sin. She says, whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off your relish of spiritual things, in short, whatever increases the strength and the authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin to you, however innocent it might be in itself. Her point is simple, isn't it? I mean, here's her point. Let me just boil it all down. Here's the point as I understand it. The more we live in the light that Jesus gives, the more uncomfortable we become living in darkness. But not just darkness, the more comfortable we become in living also in the gray, in those questionable areas, in those non-beneficial areas to our relationship with Jesus. So that's the negative side of the light that Jesus gives and what it reveals about us. Let's go to the positive side, because there is a positive side. The light that Jesus gives also reveals what we can become, who we can become. And a phrase that I remember as a young Christian, as a young college student, hearing that is tied to that idea of what we can become is often referred to as redemption and lift, or salvation and lift. And what it refers to, what it's talking about, what it's describing is what happens in your life and mine when we truly live for Jesus. That phrase helps us understand that our relationship with Jesus will not just simply affect us spiritually and lift us spiritually, but it's recognizing the sociological reality that also lifts us morally and socially as well, that it changes our lives. And that reality is due to this, because when we become a genuine follower of Jesus, not just a name, but we genuinely begin to follow Jesus with his help to the best of our ability, you know what happens? As men, we become better husbands and fathers. As women, we become better wives and mothers. We become better employees and employers. We become better neighbors and friends. Bottom line, we become better people. And if that doesn't happen for us, we need to ask ourselves, am I following Jesus or just a religious belief system? Because, folks, what historically we've seen, what we know for a fact, what God promises is when we follow Jesus, it will steer our life in a better direction. That's just the way it works. Because following Jesus ultimately and finally transforms us. And that's why God could say this through Isaiah. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is God's plan for your life and mine. To give us a hope and a future. To set us free from those things that are destroying our hope and destroying our future. So as the giver of eternal light, Jesus reveals not only what we are, people apart from him that are living in darkness and actually enjoy the darkness, and actually he reveals as well what we can become through his grace, which are men and women whose lives are transformed, Paul says, ever in an ever-increasing measure into the likeness of Jesus. So that's what Jesus revealed when he revealed God as eternal Father. Let me give you the final way. The final way and the final thing Jesus does when he reveals God as eternal Father is he reveals him as the giver of eternal love. The giver of eternal love. Once more, let's go back to the Gospel of John. And if you haven't figured it out, the Gospel of John is my favorite gospel. But here's what John writes. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning, this is John the Baptist. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me surpasses me because he was before me. We could spend a whole hour there. He who came before me has surpassed me because he was before me. Again, John is speaking of the fact that Jesus is very God. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. He says again, Jesus has made the Father, God the Father, known to us. Then he says, and wants us to understand, he goes on and says, the coming of Jesus was motivated by one thing, and that one thing was God the Father's love. For take a look at what he writes next, the next verse. Like, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, folks, I think we all recognize this, but sometimes even the most basic of truths need to be repeated. So let me just repeat what is a very basic truth. There are only two kinds of love in life. Conditional and unconditional. Only two kinds of love. And any love that has strings attached is conditional love. I'll love you if. I'll love you when. That's conditional love. Because true love, God-type love, is a free gift. And I share that because I want to take you back to that verse, a verse we all know. We see it all the time at football and baseball games. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And when we read that, what is clear to us, ought to be clear to us, is we can know for certain that God's love for us is unconditional. Because he freely gave his Son Jesus to us. And beyond that, he also gave you and I the freedom to either accept or reject Jesus. Now, if God was going for conditional love, if God was going for a trade, God was going for an exchange, he would have said something like this. I'll give you my Son Jesus if you give me your heart. Or he might have said, you know, I'll give you my Son Jesus if you give me your love, if you give me your obedience. But he didn't. He just gave us Jesus, no strings attached. And folks, what that ought to communicate to us, wherever you are on your journey today, your spiritual faith journey today, what that ought to tell you is simply this, that nothing you can do can make God love you more than he does right now. Because his love is unconditional. And it also ought to tell you that there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less than he does right now. Because his love is a free gift. And folks, the reality is, by coming to earth as the baby Jesus, what God did was he put a face on that love. And then for the next 33 and a half years, what God did through Jesus is he painted a portrait of that love through Jesus' life and ministry. And by doing that, day after day, week after week, year after year, for 33 and a half years, God made one thing crystal clear, beyond question. And here's what he made crystal clear. He came seeking and loving the successful and the unsuccessful, the acceptable and the unacceptable, the hurting and the happy, the needy and the people and person who has everything. He came loving the good, and yes, he came loving the not so good, the actual rotten bad. In short, what Jesus made crystal clear, God made crystal clear, by coming in the person of Jesus, he came searching and loving people like you and me. And that's what he made clear. And so today, the question we need to ask, and the question I beg you to answer for yourself, is simply this: has that searching love of Jesus found you, so he can give you the gifts of eternal life, and eternal light, and eternal love? Because, folks, that's what we need to understand. Then we read from Isaiah that he will be known as eternal God, eternal Father. For what God wanted us to understand through Isaiah is that's the reason Jesus came, to give us life and life, and ultimately to give us eternity in heaven. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to talk to you just for a second before I lead us in prayer. And what I want to say to you today is simply this: before you and I can have God's gift of eternal life and light and love be ours, just like any other gift, we have to receive them. We have to open our hands, we have to open our hearts, and we need to receive what God is offering. And the way you and I do that is not physical, it's spiritual. The way we do that is by simply saying in our hearts, in our minds, and say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life and be my leader and forgiver. You see, that's why the elder John that we talked about earlier said this: to all who receive him, to those he believed in his name, he, that is Jesus, gives the right to become children of God. And folks, as we're only literally 2 weeks out from Christmas, if you've never done that, if you've never received Jesus by believing in his name, and remember when we talked about name, believing in someone's name in the biblical context is believing in their character, believing in the qualities that are expressed by that name, like Eternal Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And if you've never done that, if you've never received him by believing his name, I'm going to encourage you, I want to invite you to do it today. And how we do that, as I've just said, is just say something like this in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. Just say something like this in your heart and mind. Just say, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life. Because Jesus, I so desperately want to receive your gifts of eternal light and life and love. And even as I do that, I admit to you, I admit to myself that the darkness that I've been walking in, that I didn't even realize until this morning I was actually walking in, has led me to do things that have separated me from you and from myself and from others that I love. And so forgive me. Forgive me for that. But don't stop there, Jesus. Then give me the power to live differently. For I really do believe that your grace and your power can do more than forgive past sins. I believe your grace and your forgiveness can empower my present. So I ask you to bring your light into my life and to fill me with your unconditional love. To fill me with such a deep love that everything for you, that everything else in my life pales in comparison. I'm going to give you just a moment to pray that to God, to say those things to God in your own words. If you're praying, continue to pray, but just want to pray for us and for you. And so, Father, Heavenly Father, I say thank you. I thank you for myself. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for those who are watching online. Thank you for sending Jesus and for giving us in him a perfect picture of your love and character. So, Father, I pray today that you will help us live different and better lives because of our relationship with you through him. And from that place of gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciation, humility, I ask you to help us share your love and compassion, forgiveness with the people in our lives. Because Jesus, you made it clear, for this reason I have come, to seek and to save people just like us, people just like me. And Jesus, we pray it in your name and say thank you. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, I want to invite you to look inside of your bulletin this morning and take out that gray card once again. And in light of the things that we heard this morning, maybe something piqued your interest. Maybe you heard something that you've not heard before. And that reminds me of what God says about his word. He says his word is living and active. And that means every time we come to his word, we read it, we hear it, God does something new. He changes us. So are we willing to meet him in that place today? If you are, on the back of that card are some decisions. Maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus for the first time today, and congratulations if that is your decision. Or you recommitted your life, or you want to know more about this journey, what it means that Jesus is the light, Jesus is our eternal Father, all of those things. This is our way of being able to have that information and to be able to talk with you and to help you finding those answers, seeking more, and seeing what God's word has to say. So I encourage you to do that this morning. I also want you to look in your bulletin and find, on those online, you'll see on our website as well, but there's information about the Christmas Eve service that's only 2 weeks away, and what that Sunday holds in store for us. Every 7 years, Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, so that means we have our regular service that morning and then Christmas Eve that night. But please make note, put it in your phone, on your calendar, whatever you might need to do, that we only have one service that morning at 9 a.m., so we'll all gather together on that morning for one service. And the reason we're doing that is we want to make that possible that you can have your friends and family to join you that evening to come back for a Christmas Eve service. You know, many times it's hard for us to walk across the street and tell somebody about Jesus, right? Or it's hard to tell our coworker. But this is a great way that it's friendly. We're going to have something very similar as what we did last year, where we have videos and we're going to share God's word together. But it's you know, Jesus' word is confrontational, right? But this is an easier way to be able to do that. And so we want to help you make that connection, to give that easy invite to help bring them along. And so we want to do those things for you on that morning, make it convenient for you to be able to come back that evening and make it so that you can ask and share this card. There's a place on the back there that you can write a note. You can drop it in the mail, or you can walk across the street and give it to your neighbor, or you can give it to someone at the office. But please make note of those things. And the reason we're doing that is we want to share that message that Pastor Jerry talked about this morning, about Jesus being that light in the darkness. We live in very dark times, don't we? And Jesus is that answer. Jesus is that light. So I encourage you to do that. Fill out that gray connection card this morning. Drop it in the gray box in the back. Look for it there in the chat window for those online, and very easily hit that button and send it to us. Take those cards with you. Do those invitations this week and be praying as we are expecting, right? We've been talking about Advent, expecting Jesus. Expect Jesus to do great things that morning and that evening. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you back next week. Thanks, you.